Acts chapter 3. We'll cover verses 1 to 10 this morning as we continue to go through the exciting book of Acts together. If you'll follow along in your Bible while I read mine. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this miracle that we read about in this text of Scripture. We thank you that Jesus has the power to heal. And surely he also has the power to save. And we thank you that as we read of John and Peter ministering to him, we see an example for us. And Lord, I pray that you would empower me by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would bless this message to the heart of each one that hears. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in chapter 2 and verse 42, it says that fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. That was a summary statement that after Pentecost, that the apostles were used of God to continue to do mighty miracles just like Jesus did. And of all the miracles that they did, this one was selected for our attention here in chapter 3. And there are several reasons why Luke selected this particular miracle. One is because the miracle drew a large crowd for the preaching of the gospel that is recorded here in chapter 3. Furthermore, this miracle caught the attention of the authorities and led to the first great opposition against the early church, and that is dealt with in chapter 4. And then furthermore, I believe this miracle gives an illustration of what we should be doing as a church and how Christ wants to change the lives of people. Now, we read that Peter and John were going into the temple, and we need to understand what the temple complex was like. It was not just a single building, but rather it was a large complex of buildings. There were covered colonnades all around the temple complex, and inside would be the court of the Gentiles, and there would be numerous gates leading into the court of the Gentiles. And then as you got closer to the temple, there was the court of women. And there would be gates leading into the court of women. And then as you got even closer to the temple, there would be a gate leading into the court where the Jewish men would pray and worship very close to the temple building itself. And at that entrance, at that gate leading into the close inner court was probably the beautiful gate that Luke writes about here. And it was covered, according to Josephus, with Corinthian bronze. It may have also had some gold plating to it. It was facing the east. And so the morning sun would shine upon this beautiful gate. It was indeed a very beautiful gate there at the temple. And right in front of that gate, there were steps, and the Levitical singers would stand on those steps and sing to the worshipers gathered there. But at this beautiful temple gate, there was an ugly sight. There was a man who was brought and laid right there near the beautiful gate of the temple. And day after day, he would beg, plead for people to open up their wallet, so to speak, and give him something by which he could live on. There was no other means of support that this man had. And yet, Peter and John, as they approached him, they were used of God to change this man's life. And so this morning, I'm going to share a message about how we too can touch the lives of others, how we can be a blessing to others, and how we can best be a blessing to others, and how Christ indeed can change lives. And so I want to share with you, first of all, this morning, the Christians who ministered to the lame man. Yes, many people passed by each and every day this man. Some gave him a little something to help him to live each day. But Peter and John, believers in Jesus Christ, were used to minister to this man in a new way that completely revolutionized his life. And I want to share with you three characteristics of Peter and John that ought to be true of us if we are going to be blessings to others. First of all, God is going to use those who are united in fellowship. In verse 1, we read that Peter and John went up together to the temple at the night hour. Now, what is unusual about this? That Peter and John are paired up together. Well, when you read the Gospels, you understand that Peter and John were very different men. Peter was loud and boisterous, and he was always opening his mouth and saying things. And I can imagine there was times when John, who was more quiet and reserved, would kind of roll his eyes when Peter spoke up and sometimes said things he ought not to have said. And I really don't think they liked each other very much when they were working together with Jesus. But upon the coming of the Holy Spirit filling their lives, here we see them joining together in unity as a team, serving the Lord together. And they were still different, but now their differences were complementing each other. And, Peter was still the more vocal of the two, but John was there to assist. John was there to collaborate his testimony. Yes, God used them both in unity. And you know, Jesus prayed for this very thing. He prayed in John 17:21 that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus says that our ability to reach the world for Christ is tied to our unity together. And here we see them unified together in serving the Lord together. And furthermore, we see something along the same line is that they were working together as a team. You know, when Jesus sent his disciples out on preaching and healing missions, he sent them out two by two. He did not send them out alone. He sent them out in teams. And I believe that God intends for us to minister to people, for the most part, in teams, working together. You know, Paul was a missionary, and he almost always worked with a team of missionaries. And as we seek to reach others and visit and minister to the community, I think it's wonderful that we team up together and minister together like they did. Working in a team provides greater accountability and safety from temptation as you're working together.
And furthermore, God is going to use those who are committed to prayer. Peter and John were going up to join other Jews in the normal times of prayer in the temple. Now we know that according to Psalm 55, the psalmist said, at morning and evening and at noon, I will lift up my prayer unto you. And in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, we read that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And so it became a practice that at 9, noon, and 3 o'clock, Jews would gather in the temple, probably in synagogues as well, and spend time in prayer together. They were committed to prayer. You know, the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. And I believe we should always be in a spirit of prayer. We should always be ready to spontaneously pray as needs arise. But I believe it is helpful to have set aside times for prayer. Personally, when I have my Bible reading in the morning, it's followed by a time of prayer. And so that's a set time that I have. And as a church, we have set times of prayer. Sunday school classes have times of prayer at the beginning. Wednesday night, we gather for prayer. About 8 or 9 of us gather on Friday morning every week to pray together. I believe God is going to use those who are committed to prayer. And I tell you, when it comes to ministering to people, there is little better you can do than to pray for them. That's called intercessory prayer. If you know someone who's not saved, you ought to be praying for their salvation. If you know someone who is sick, you ought to be praying for their healing. If you know someone who is impoverished, you ought to pray that God will meet their needs. Yes, God will use those who are committed to prayer. And I ask you, are you committed to prayer? Yes, these people were committed to prayer, and God used them. And furthermore, God is going to use those who show love and compassion to people. Again, day after day, people would walk by this lame man at the beautiful gate, going to pray, going to worship the Lord. And yet, how many of those same people took any notice whatsoever of this lame man? How many ministered to him in any way at all? But Peter and John took the time to show love and compassion to this man. And you know, he was not a pleasant sight to look upon, no doubt. And as we minister to people in this world, you're going to see some people who live a lifestyle that you might find repugnant. But you know, their lifestyle is simply an expression of their lost condition. Many of these folks are very profane in their language, and I don't like that at all. But again, it's just an expression of the condition of their heart. Folks, until people get saved, they're going to live a life that's not pleasing to us, but we should still love them, and we should still show compassion to them like Peter and John did. And I want you to think about a couple of things that they did that we should do as we reach out to people who are in need, to those who are hurting. First of all, we should give people our attention. In verse 4, it says, "And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look upon us." Peter did not give this man just a passing glance and just keep right on walking. But rather, he focused his attention upon this man. And John did as well. And you know, that's one way that we can show love to someone, is by giving them some focused attention. Husbands, of course, need to give our wives some focused attention. Date nights are good for that. We ought to give our children some focused attention each and every day. People are starving for someone to care for them and just to give them a little bit of attention. You know, the Bible says many times that we are to greet one another. Yes, as we pass each other by, we're not to just zoom right on past, but we are to give them a little attention and just take a moment to greet them, as the Bible says. You know, that's why, pastors and deacons and small group leaders need to be mindful of people who need a little extra attention, who need a little extra prayer, who need a little extra ministry, and give them some special attention. You all know the story of the Good Samaritan, how a man was robbed and beaten and left for dead by the side of the road. And guess who came by? A priest and a Levite. And you remember what they did? They just passed right on the other side. As soon as that poor man caught their attention, they passed on the other side and probably did not give him another look. But a Samaritan who was despised by the Jews, he was the one that looked upon this man, approached this man, who bound up his wounds, who saw to it that he was cared for. He gave him his attention. Yes, if we're going to be used of God, we've got to give the lost and the hurting of this world some of our attention. And then furthermore, we need to extend a hand to others. In verse 7, we read that Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Now he has said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now he really didn't need for Peter to lift him up if indeed Jesus was going to heal him. But I believe that this man needed a little boost to his faith in order for him to even try to get up and walk. And so Peter gave him that helping hand. And you know, I think as we minister to people, we need to reach out to them and we need to give them a helping hand, just like Peter did here in this text of Scripture. There may be someone who has trusted Jesus as their Savior, but they haven't made it public, haven't followed the Lord in baptism, and maybe you can just go to them and say, listen, I'll walk down the aisle with you and I'll help you make your decision public. Or someone that may come to church and they just need a helping hand where you invite them and say, I'll pick you up. Yes, someone may be hungry and you actually give them some food to eat. We need to extend a helping hand to others if we're going to truly show love and compassion to people. And so we read about the Christians who ministered to this man and why God was able to use Peter and John in such a wonderful way. And God will use us. God will use us if we follow their pattern, as we read about here in this text of Scripture, where we are committed to prayer, where we are unified, where we show love and compassion to other people. But you know, there's only so much that you and I are going to be able to do to help people. We can give somebody a meal, but 4 or 5 hours later, they're still going to be hungry. We can't save their soul. Only Jesus can do that. There are things that only Christ can do. And so we see in this text of Scripture, not only the Christians who helped this man, but the Christ who healed this man. Only Jesus could heal this man. Only Jesus could give him lasting health. And so we read in verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, Peter confesses in verse 11 that the power to heal is not within him, but he knew who could heal this man, and that's Jesus. And so he pointed this man to Jesus Christ. He even said, silver and gold I do not have. I can't even give you any money. I don't have any money, but what I do have, I'll give you, and it's Jesus. I know Jesus. Jesus has healed others. And Jesus is going to heal you right now if you'll just look to Him and put your faith in Him. Listen, the best thing you can do is give someone Jesus. And so I want us to think about the priority of our ministry. Yes, I believe we should show love and compassion to people and help people at the point of their need. But you know, the greatest need that every person has is Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, that I sought to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ is the one that can save our souls. Jesus Christ is the one that can forgive our sins. He's the one that can give us eternal life. He's the one that can give us the Holy Spirit and change our lives. Jesus Christ is what this world needs more than anything. And as we minister to people, we must always make sharing Christ and sharing the gospel the priority of our ministry. Because only Christ and the gospel can give lasting change to that person's life. But you know, the problem we get into, though, in our ministry is when we focus on other things other than Jesus. Again, he said, silver and gold I do not have. And yet there are some ministries that that's all they do is just give money and just help their physical needs. No, we got to do more than that. We must also point people to Jesus Christ. Sir Thomas Aquinas, the theologian, went to Rome to visit the new Pope. And the Pope showed him around the palace of the Pope and the church there. And even showed him not only the beautiful sights, but also even the treasury of the palace that he was living in. And he said, almost with a wink in his eye, "So you see, Sir Thomas, no longer can I say, as the first Pope, silver and gold have I none." To which Sir Thomas Aquinas said, "Yes, and neither can you say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Oh, they had the riches of the world, but no longer had the power of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when churches rely upon what money can do and the worldly approaches and worldly schemes and earthly things, rather than focusing on the gospel and sharing what Christ can do with people, we're going to fall far short of what we ought to be. Oh, we can build the most beautiful buildings, but that doesn't mean people are going to come and be saved. You know, we can have the greatest music program in the community, but that it doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to be saved and lives are going to be changed. No, we must make sure that we focus on Jesus Christ and sharing Christ with people. But we also see not only the Christ who healed this lame man, but finally the conversion of this lame man. I say conversion because I believe that Christ not only healed him, but Christ saved him. And this man became a wonderful testimony of what Christ can do in a life. And I want to share with you, as we think about this, of the steps that take place in order for someone to be saved and converted. Now, I don't think anyone in this audience is lame like this man was. You were able to walk in here and so forth, but we may have some that are lame spiritually. You know, the Bible says that my people do not walk in my ways, nor keep my commandments. And on your own, you cannot walk in the pathways of the Lord and do the will of God because we're sinners by nature and by choice. You cannot walk in the ways of the Lord, but if you'll turn to the Lord, He will cause you to be born again. He will give you the Holy Spirit. He will help you understand God's Word, and you will be able to live in the ways the Lord would have you to live. And so what has to take place in a person's life? Well, note, first of all, as they began to minister to this man, it created an earnest expectation. It says in verse 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. When they started giving him attention, when they started speaking to him, he thought, oh boy, I'm about to get some money. I'm about to get blessed, and I'm going to have something to eat after all later today. He was expecting to receive something. And you know, he probably and could well have known that Peter and John were apostles of Jesus Christ. And if he was going to receive something from anybody, surely these Christian men would give him something, for he was hungry. After all, Jesus fed the hungry. Surely they will help this man. He was expecting to receive. And you know, it illustrates the way it ought to be with us. That when we pray, we ought to pray expectantly. We ought to pray with faith that God is going to do what we ask Him to do. Do you have expectant faith? Do you have expectancy like this man had? You know, James says, you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we don't even ask for what we need from the Lord. But we ought to ask in faith and expect that God is going to do it. But furthermore, we see an exercise of faith, I believe. In the verse 6, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, of course, that there were many called Jesus in that day. He wanted him to know exactly who he's talking about. It's Jesus, the Messiah, from Nazareth. Oh, I know who that is. Again, he had been in the temple. He most assuredly saw Jesus with his own eyes. Most assuredly, he had heard of Jesus, how he had healed many people. And so when Peter said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, I believe that he believed in his own heart that he was going to be healed. And so when Peter took him by the hand, he exerted as well as being lifted up. And sure enough, at that very moment, Jesus healed him. And he was able to stand up and walk. Oh yes, he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. All we got to do is tell people what Jesus will do for them. And give them some of the Word of God and so they can believe. And God will save them. And God will do a great work in their life. But then in verse 7, we read about a dramatic healing. It says in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Just like that, immediately this man who had never walked a day in his life was able to suddenly stand up and walk for the first time. Oh, he grew up as a child and not able to walk and just looking at other kids out playing and wishing that he could be out there playing with them. As a man, he could not earn a living, but all he could do for year after year after year was beg at the temple. But now for the first time, he is able to walk. And the Bible says he's able to leap. And he's able to praise God. Yes, a dramatic and complete healing took place in this man's life. And notice that it took place immediately. You know, if you were to break your ankle or your leg and you weren't able to walk, they're going to take you and put that in a cast. And it's going to take the weeks and months before you're going to walk again like you ought to. But no, this took place immediately, just like that. And that's what Christ will do for a soul. The moment you repent, the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, at that very moment you're born again. At that very moment you receive the Holy Spirit. God begins to change your life at that very moment. That's what Christ will do for us. And so we conclude this morning with a dramatic response. When this man was healed, notice what he did. Verse 8, so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Man, he was so thrilled of what Christ had done for him that he began to walk and leap and praise God. Now, I want you to notice, where did he go as soon as Christ healed them? He went with Peter and John right on through that gate into that temple court where people were praying, where people were singing praises unto God, and he joined them in praising God. I tell you, when God saves your soul, I believe you will want to come and gather with other people and praise God with other believers like this man did. I don't quite understand someone who says they're a Christian and yet they don't want to gather with God's people and praise His name. This man immediately wanted to go and praise the name of the Lord. And furthermore, notice that he did not just go into the temple, but he also did what? Man, he was leaping. He was leaping, praising God. I tell you, with his newfound faith, he was so excited, he was leaping up and down. Now, let me ask you a question. When you get really excited, isn't that what you oftentimes do? Man, when the Georgia Bulldogs won that game, David was watching it, he leapt up, I leapt up, we started hugging and just going up and down, you know. Man, we were so excited. We were so excited. And I can imagine this man just going to different people and just so excited about what God had done in his life. And I have an idea that he was also doing some shouting at the same time. He doesn't exactly say that, but he was also, I believe, doing some shouting as he was praising God. You know, many times the Psalms talk about shout unto the Lord, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And this man was just praising God with all of his being. You know, again, Cheryl and I, my family, we've been long times Atlanta Braves fans. And so we'll watch them on TV and we'll sometimes go to the stadium, being from Georgia, and watch them there at the stadium. And you know what happens when they make a really good play or they win the game? You know, we start, you know, getting excited and we do a little bit of shouting. And you ought to hear Cheryl when she shouts. She gets to shouting, you know. But think about this. Now think about it. Those men on the field who are paid millions of dollars, most of them, what have they done for me? They give me a little entertainment. And that's nice. Okay. But you know what? They've never ministered to me when I was sick. They never prayed for me. They haven't done anything for my soul. My sins aren't forgiven through what they did. They have not changed my life. And yet, we get more excited about some players on the field than we do about Jesus. I mean, the one that has saved us, that has changed our lives, that has given us eternal life. And, you know, sometimes we think we're being dignified when we worship, and sometimes we're kind of petrified, you know. I was thinking about this in the early service, you know. Have we been saved so long that we've lost the wonder of God saving our souls? And, you know, we're just not praising the Lord from our heart and not thinking about what we're doing. Now, look, folks, you know, people can go wrong and be in a show and putting on an act. And, of course, we don't want to do that. And sometimes people, you know, probably can go overboard. But, hey, when we come to worship, We are worshiping the Lord Jesus who saved us, who changed our lives. You know, the least thing we can do is think about what we're singing and sing from our heart and, yes, lift our voices. There's nothing more beautiful than the raised voices of God's people singing praise unto the Lord. That's what this man experienced when God changed his life, and that ought to be true of us as well. I ask you this morning, have you come to that place in your life where you have realized that you can't walk in the ways of the Lord? That spiritually you're lame and only Jesus can heal you. Will you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning? And then, many of us are already Christians, and folks, there are hurting people all around us. There are lost people all around us. Remember how God can use us, where we need to be in order for God to use us to reach them. And may God help us to do that very thing. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you did in this man's life. A man who had never walked a day in his life was able to walk and leap and praise God. And Lord, there are so many people that are hurting, so many people that are lost without Christ. Lord, help us to be used of you to reach out to them the way Peter and John reached out to this man. And Lord, if you bring someone in our path this very day, help us not to look away, but help us to minister to them. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our hymn.